Are you weighed down by the burdens of life? Do you find yourself encouraged by the word of God on Sunday, but lose momentum shortly thereafter? Well, welcome to Sunday Soul Service, an hour designed to strengthen, encourage, and motivate you to keep pushing along the journey we call life. This is Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder, encouraging you to believe, trust, and walk it out.
Welcome to the Sunday Soul Service. I'm Letitia Bates, life coach and founder of At The Wheel Coaching, driving your life to higher ground. Do you want everything to be free from flaws? Do you want to cover every defect? Are you a perfectionist? Tanisha certainly is. Tanisha is a sales trainer. She's been presenting for 6 years. The PowerPoint slides don't change much, so she knows the material very well. When she does a class, there are 3 objectives on the slides, which she also knows very well. She is always well-prepared and gets rave reviews. Despite the technical difficulties that did not allow her to show the slides at her last class, the participants were still thrilled. However, Tanisha was outraged because, well, it wasn't perfect. Carrie manages a call center. She is dedicated to excellence. She has regular meetings with her staff to let them know the expected talk times to maintain the center's excellent reputation. She listens to challenges and responds to any obstacles that stand in the way of achieving high scores. Her team loves her. Each person is full of pride because they know how to reach the goals. When the unexpected occurs, they deal with it and get back in the game. At the end of the month, the team maintains excellence. Both Tanisha and Carrie are successful. The difference is what is driving them. Perfection is defined as the quality of being free from all flaws and defects. Excellence is defined as the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. This means perfection focuses on the absence of flaws, while excellence focuses on the presence of good. I always say the absence of a thing is not the presence of a thing. Not showing flaws does not mean you are presenting something good. Perfection is unclear and a state you can never achieve. Make excellence your aim. It can be measured and drives you to do good. To help us dig a little deeper, the incredible Dr. Renee Sunday is here. Dr. Sunday, please share your thoughts.
The teacher base, I'm up here saying, okay, now I have to keep it 100 and I have to actually tell the truth because I used to be that person that was perfectionist, but I'm so grateful, Letitia, that it was broken very early in my career. I was thinking back when you said your intro, I think it broke when I was in medical school, when I first went to medical school, I was used to making A's and B's. Yeah, I was that, you know, that quirky girl with the glasses. And then, Letitia, my first exam in medical school, I made a C. I mean, I packed my bags in Nashville and went to Birmingham, 2-hour drive, driving back home. And, you know, my mom and dad, they said, okay, you can have a good meal, but then you need to go. You need to go back.
You need to go.
I'm grateful that I've learned so quickly, but I was there, and I'm so glad through so many people, and actually you're going to help us even more this evening so we can get in the right state of mind.
Yes, and so there is nothing wrong with wanting to do well. I mean, that is the place we should always be. We should always want to show up and bring the best of ourselves to whatever it is that we're doing in life. That's not what I'm talking about, because doing it that way, and that's why I use the example of Carrie, because Carrie and her team, they know what the mark is that they're reaching. They know how to meet that mark. And when they're not meeting the mark, they know how to regroup and go back from the mark. But when someone sets the mark at perfection, they can't define that. So reaching for perfection is not the same thing as reaching for excellence.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I was there. I'm shooting for perfection, 100% on every test. And I was, you know, there for a while till I had to learn. And I'm so glad we don't dive deep in this because so many people are at that point. And then I know we'll talk about this a little later, but when we get to in that state, we actually create problems for ourselves and for others.
Yeah, and so one of the questions that you can ask yourself is this idea that you want things to be perfect. You can ask, where is that coming from? Because that's not the same as wanting to do well. That feeling like, you know, in that scenario with Tanisha where, you know, the technical difficulties, which we all run up and experience that at some point, whether it's our phone, our computers, we all have these moments where there's some technical difficulty or something outside of our control. And then we just roll on with it. So she did that, but she was still internally displeased with the outcome because it wasn't perfect. Because she has this idea in mind that I'm going to go in and all the T's are going to be crossed and all the I's are going to be dotted. So she couldn't see the fact that she was still able to deliver the class well. She couldn't even see that she gave value to the people who showed up in the class. All she could really give her attention to was the fact that it didn't go perfect. So
wow.
She is even losing the reward of what she actually did do.
Well, with you saying that, Leticia, that's a whole nother aspect that we actually need to dive into. And you said we need to find the root of the thing. Like, she can't see that she is bringing value. Let me ask you this. Is she, you know, putting herself on a lower platform than she really is? She's dumbing herself down and don't really see her true value and the excellence that she brings to the table.
Yeah, then it's a great point. So she's putting she knows her stuff. So it's not like she's going in and she, you know, doesn't know the material. She knows the material. She prides herself on knowing the material. But she's really looking at the outward thing. I want to present this perfect picture. I want everything to be perfect. My hair is going to be in place. My makeup's going to be perfect. My outfit's going to be perfect. And I'm going to knock it out the park with this perfect, you know, presentation. And in truth, she did all that. But she just didn't have it go without a flaw. And see, this is why I brought the definition up of what a perfectionist is or what perfection is. Perfection means being free from flaws and defects. And you and I both know, as humans, that's just not even possible. So she can come in, bring her A game, and because it's not perfect, she still turns her focus onto what went poorly or what didn't go perfectly. Instead of really being grateful that she's got the skills and the ability to bring her A game, even if things don't work out perfectly. And that is what we miss in that quest for perfection. We miss our own value.
Now that's a great concept. So as she says, we dive deeper, I guess, and help me with the language, does she have the wrong perception of what her value truly is? Does she really know what that is? Or even someone that's listening today, tonight, or even at the archive, are we missing what our true value is, Leticia?
Yes, she's missing the goalpost. When you set your sights on being excellent, what that means is you're going to, if you commit, so for example, there's a test to take, and you mentioned this, there's a test to take, and you are going to prepare. You know what it's going to take to get that A. So then you're going to commit yourself to doing the studying. You're going to commit yourself to doing the reading, all the work involved in achieving that A. So the A is there with a number that measures it and shows you how to actually get there. So then you invest the time and the energy in order to achieve that goal. It's achievable. Excellence is achievable because there's a measure on it. But when you want everything to be without flaw, you want things to be without defect, you want things to go down without a hitch, that's perfection, and you cannot measure that. And what happens is it sets this thing up inside of you. It sets you up for failure because you can never be perfect. You can't reach it. Because you're really reaching for something that doesn't exist. Remember, perfection is the absence of flaws. So you're reaching for something that isn't even there. Whereas excellence is presenting something that's good and measurable and attainable and achievable. You can do that. And even if you, in your experience, you made a C in one grade or one class, that doesn't put you out of the game. You can still go back and make another A. But if perfection is your aim, you can't ever get there because there's no way to measure that.
I like how you say you can't measure it. That is powerful. I think that's going to be a light bulb for so many people because especially in corporate America, we so focus on the bottom line, the return on investment, if you will, and with the great examples you gave, and that's a pride one when we are actually doing a presentation because we want. I have learned this even in ministry. You know, if people stand up and give you standing ovation, that's no different from the people that's sitting there and not saying anything. I mean, you really don't know how the impact and influence on them, but I have to make sure I know that I'm doing, just like you said, the spirit of excellence, that I have to know that I'm bringing value because I put the preparation time in to be that.
Yes, and that's where you can start to set yourself up for success. That's where you can start to appreciate what you're bringing to the table. When you know that you are doing the work, you're putting the work in Tanisha's case, she's reading, she knows what the slides are, she knows what the updates are. She's investing the time, and she's preparing herself. She can say, if I walk away from there, and no matter what happens, these people know what their objectives are, and they can read that back to me, she can check that mark. She's made the mark. But if it's contingent on nothing ever going wrong, she's setting herself up for failure. There is no way on earth that we can control that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking there was a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to see the CNN series that they were doing on the 90s. And so I recorded this whole series, and I sat down to watch series, and the series wasn't there because the hurricane was going on. It was Hurricane Irma. So it preempted all those shows. And they weren't rebroadcast. So think about all the work that those producers went through to produce that show. And when it came airtime, it didn't even show. There's no way to control that. That's something that was completely out of their hands. So should they call that a failure?
No. Wow. No.
Okay. So there are things, and I use that. That's huge, but I use that because there are things that are completely out of our control. And when we allow the things that are outside of us to be the dictators, we got a problem. But if we connect to the power of God that's in us and we know that there's a spirit of excellence that we are bringing forth to the table and we are bringing our A game to the best of our ability to everything that we do, then that is operating from a position of power. That is an empowering perspective. But if you want everything to line up, all the T's to be crossed, all the I's to be dotted, there's no way to control that.
You're right about that. So many things are not in our control. But I love how you said, Lakeisha, about the outside stuff. You know, a lot of times the outside stuff, but, you know, and I've seen this all over. People love to say that we are our worst enemy. The battle we have between our ears, the things that we beat ourselves up with, it's really the thing that we need to be dealing with, because you cannot control people outside, and they're going to do what they want to do. But I'm so glad that you actually telling us about this, because we have to get to the root of the thing. And talk to us a little bit about that, because I know we actually can have sessions with you to actually get to the bottom line or the root of why we actually want to strive for this, even if we want to strive too high or if we want to strive too low.
Right, yeah, and so the root of the whole perfectionist thing, it comes from somewhere. But really, when you think about it, it's really projecting this image that things are perfect. Because just like we said, we already know that nothing is perfect and nobody is perfect. And we say that all the time. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We say that all the time. But when we get into this idea that we should be perfect, that doesn't square, right? It's inconsistent with what we already know to be true. So when we decide to make perfection our aim, the question to ask yourself is, where is this coming from? This idea that I need to be perfect, how do I know that I need to be perfect? Why do I need to be perfect? And that can take us down a road to really to show us where that started. And some of that does start where our parents have certain expectations of what kind of grades we're going to get. Or our parents have expectations of how we're going to look when we leave the house. And there's nothing wrong with coming out and wanting to be, you know, well-dressed and well-represented. But when it gets to a place where you're trying to project this image that's not real, that's a problem. And so asking yourself that question, I want this to be perfect. Why do you want it to be perfect? Is a great start. A more empowering question is, what can I do to make this excellent? It's a more empowering question. It brings in more empowering thought, and then it pushes you down the road to really manifest some of the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. But that whole idea of perfection is coming from somewhere else.
You're right, and you have to deal with that. And what keeps coming to mind is, because a lot of times in leadership, we put the leaders up, and I don't know how this evolved, that we put our leaders on a higher pedestal than we do ourselves. I mean, even in the church, outside the church, even in the political arena, et cetera, et cetera. We tend to put the leaders on a higher level, male or female, but we forget the same thing that we're saying this evening, that they're not perfect. I heard, I can't remember who said it, but I think it was Paula White said, and that was prior to this election. She was saying that she would rather have someone that had been through something, you know, than someone that has never been in a courtroom, that never actually been in a city council meeting. So the experience does make a difference. But with that being said, they're not perfect and never will be. But we actually have done that, and we do that today, Lakeisha. We put the leaders on a high level. I can't say that's good or bad, but still the thing we need to remember is that they never will be perfect like we won't.
Well, so that's an excellent point, because, you know, so we're taking this idea of perfection, projecting it onto a leader. So when that leader falls short of that mark of perfection, then we're quick to pounce on that leader, because that idea of perfection that we know doesn't exist. We know it's not real, yet we're still trying to operate from it, and then we push it up and project it on the leader. The other side of that, I will say, in terms of leadership, is to whom much is given, much is required, right? So when you're in a position of leadership, you just, the standard of how you live your life definitely shifts. But it should not shift toward perfection. It should shift toward a higher level of excellence. So when I'm thinking about a minister, what I'm looking for somebody who knows what they're talking about. I'm looking for somebody who can help me move through the situation that I'm moving through. I'm looking for somebody who can help me with a coherent message that is today, that's ready for today, that's based in truth and can help me move forward. And I'm expecting that they're going to be studied and prepared in order to deliver that message, and that they're going to do so to the best of their ability. Just like if I'm when I'm with a client, my client has my full time and attention. And whoever is sitting on my chair, on my phone, or on that Skype session, they have the absolute best of me. And they should expect that if they're going to come, that they should get excellence from the experience. Not perfection. Do you see that there is a difference?
I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Because I've had Skype sessions where I've had 5 minutes of technical difficulty. And we, you know, can you hear me? I can't hear you. Can you hear me? I can't. Okay. And we got to get that out of the way. Well, that's not perfect. I can't control that. But what I can do is once we're together, I can give you my attention and I can bring my A game to that situation. And that is what you should expect. So you should expect excellence from me. You should expect excellence from your leaders. But you should not expect perfection because it does not exist.
I love that. Hey, as the kids, that's a tweetable there. Because we have to realize that. And, oh, Lord. But as you say, as being a leader, we need to actually, you know, be respectful and be mindful of the things we do and say. But let me ask you this. Going back to, because this is just so powerful when you said, when we try to strive to that, the spirit of excellence. You know, some people, how can I say it? I just say one area of their life, they can say they can do that. But then when it comes, let's say at the job, Tanisha did that so wonderfully, you know, at the job. But then when she comes home, it says, oh, but all right. And I understand, but what? How can we, you know, when we come to your sessions and we get this down of how we're going to be in the spirit of excellence, how we can let that bridge over to all the things we're doing, not just in one scenario like when we're at work?
Well, here's what I know. Nothing comes from nowhere, and everything comes from something. So if this perfection thing is big, and it is, and I see it, and I hear it, and it shows up in my office, it is not coming really from a desire to do a good presentation. It's always deeper than that. And that's what I was saying with Tanisha. Tanisha did a good presentation, but her internal feelings, her outrage, her frustration is because somehow she feels like it sent some message about her, right? Mm-hmm. She thinks that technical difficulty had some kind of reflection on her. But that's in her mind. Her participants didn't see that. They already know that there are going to be glitches. They already know that there are going to be technical difficulties. But what they were able to get from her is despite the technical difficulties, she could still show up and give them what they needed. She couldn't see that because she's trying to project that image of perfection. And what I'm saying is that idea that you have to be perfect is coming from somewhere. Somewhere inside that's telling you that you have a deficit. Somewhere inside that tells you that you are flawed. Somewhere inside that tells you that you're unworthy. somewhere inside of you that tells you that you've got to do in order for people to receive you a certain way. It's bigger than just that one event. And so when you start to deal with what wherever that came from, then what happens inside of you is you start to shift how you are approaching everything. So it's not relegated to just doing well at work or just doing well, you know, in this particular friendship while these other things fall apart. What I'm talking about is a shift in your thinking. And a shift in your thinking can result in a shift in your being. And when you are then operating out of your being, then the things that you do flow naturally from that.
That's amazing there. Wow.
So the,
wow.
Yeah, the
you
deeper
know,
questions
as people
what's
say
really
the things
going
that
on.
We go through as childhood really affect us. We have to get a hold of them by having sessions with you. So let me ask you, how can we go from, if we see these signs that you're saying of the two examples, if we actually are striving for 100% all the time and we striving for the perfection with no flaws, how do we make that transition or make that process over to having the spirit of excellence in our lives? And, you know, not just one area, but as you say, across the board of our whole life.
Across the board. Yeah, so, you know, the tool, one of the power tools that I use in my practice is a tool called tapping. And so what tapping does is you tap on acupressure points. There are several of them. One is between your eyebrows. The other is on the side of your eye. The other is underneath your eye. And the other is at your collarbone, right where the necklace would fall. And the last is to grab your wrist. So my website is atthewheelcoaching.com. That's atthewheelcoaching.com. And you can go on atthewheelcoaching.com. There's a video on tapping, and there's also a sheet that you can print out that shows you where the tapping points are. But what tapping does is it activates your body's relaxation response. So typically when you're feeling this need to be perfect, and it's got to be perfect, and everything's got to be right, and all the T's got to be crossed, you're feeling some sense of anxiety around that. That's an emotion that you're feeling in your body somewhere. And it could be manifesting as a headache or butterflies in your stomach or tightness in your chest or in your back. Somewhere there's in the body. And there also may be a memory of a time where things failed horribly. And that memory may be stuck in your mind, and you haven't been able to kind of quite recover from that. So you're now overcompensating for that. But there's usually something you're thinking, some image in your mind, and some sensation in your body. That is your body's stress response. When you feel that stress response, you can use the tapping to activate the body's relaxation response in order to bring you down to neutral. So let's say, for example, you know, Tanisha had an experience where maybe, and, you know, I'm just giving this as an example. Maybe she was being audited in one of her classes and, you know, by a superior, and something didn't go well, and the participants didn't get what they needed from that experience, and afterwards she was scolded. Well, now, all of a sudden, we know why Tanisha wants everything to go well. That could have been years ago. It could have been at the very start. So she could have moved on from it, but in her mind and in her spirit and her body, it's still not resolved. So she's got this distressing memory that kind of comes up in her subconscious every time she gets ready to step up in front of the class. So what she feels is this need for everything to be perfect. So what she could do is go back to that experience in her mind, and she could use the tapping to activate her body's relaxation response as it results to that particular memory. And then once that relaxation response comes up, it neutralizes you, right? So it doesn't change the past. It's just changing how you hold and represent it. And from that neutral place, then her A game can come forward, and it won't matter what happens in the class. She's going to roll with the punches because she knows she's got the good to give them no matter what. So what I would want to know is there something specific to this event, something directly connected to this event that you can think of? And if not, then I want to know where else in your life you feel like you need to be perfect. When did you first feel that way? How do you know that that's required of you? And there's always some distressing event that shows up. And that is what we use the tapping for, to relax your body around that, to activate your body's relaxation response around that experience so that you can move forward.
Wow, that sounds so powerful. But Leticia, I have to put this in there because, unfortunately, we in this society, we want things to happen real quick. Tell us about that, because a lot of times, depending on, you know, you can speak more on that, how deep the concern is, it may take a while for us to get to that relaxation mode.
Yeah, and so, you know, what I say is everything is a game of references and rehearsals. So what is a reference? A reference is when you have those memories. She could have more than one memory, and we're just using Tanisha as an example here, but she could have more than one memory. She could have the memory where there was the ball that scolded her. She could also have the memory where when she was growing up, if she didn't get good grades, she was on punishment. She could have a memory where every time she walked out, she needed to have makeup on to go check the mailbox. So these could all be a bunch of references. The memories are references that she's been carrying around to collect and collecting, giving her the idea that she has to be perfect. So if she's got multiple references that she's been rehearsing, meaning replaying in her conscious and her subconscious mind, then no, that's not going to just go away. We got to go back to those things and address those, all of the events there. And so, yeah, that does take time. The cool thing about tapping that I love is it is transformational. So what, even though it takes time, we're not talking about 6-7 years trying to figure this out. But we are talking about getting in there and going and spending the time, or investing the time, I should say, in dealing with what's at the root of that. And if that takes several sessions, then it is worth it. Cure you of this idea that you have to be something that nobody on earth can be. Because you see how it's a setup, right? If you want to be if you are a perfectionist, but you know perfection can't be achieved, do you see how that's a setup?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's the other side of that, right? You're aiming for something that you already know does not exist.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I think that's going to free a lot of people. Deceive them if they check out their archive, because a lot of us have been there and there. So that's actually, as you said, transformational, that we realize that we would never be perfect, but the spirit of excellence, that's just, woo, that's amazing. that just makes you feel good to just even hear that.
Yeah, because that's actually something that you can do. I mean, if it's something like even just deciding what is an excellent week for you, well, maybe an excellent week for you, you know, is making sure you get to work on time every day and getting food on the table at night for your kids. You know, you define what excellence is. It's great if you're taking a class. They got a standard set for you. But if you want to set personal standards in your own life, at least set the standards yourself. And if you don't make the mark every single time, then you can make an adjustment. But you're aiming for something that you can actually achieve. And what you're setting yourself up for there, you're setting it, well, that's a setup for success, right? Because if my aim is to get to work every morning on time, and I'm not getting to work on time every morning, then I can make some adjustments in my schedule to make that happen, because I know what my aim is. So I don't attack myself because I can't do it. Then I start looking at, oh, okay, well, what's happening that I'm not getting there on time? Oh, because I like to stay up late. Oh, okay, and why do I like to stay up late? Well, because my favorite show doesn't come on until 10 o'clock. Okay, well, maybe what I need to do is DVR that thing and watch it on the weekend. You know, it's a more empowering place, right? You set your aim for that, and when it's not happening, then you can start looking to see what's happening that's making it not happen. And you're still empowered because you can course correct. You can start to shift your life to move it in the direction that you want to go. You're in power.
That is just so amazing. Oh, wow, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, you can hit star one, and we can you can ask a question to Leticia. This is just so amazing. I love it. I love it. Star one if you have a question. But continue, Leticia. This is just so, I just love it. Every time you come on, it's just amazing to learn new things and realize that it's all right being you, being whoever you are. It's okay. It's a great thing.
Yeah, it is a great thing. And so what's funny to me is, you know, we have this stuff about, you know, the color of people's skin. I remember growing up, I've always been dark skinned, right? So there was a thing when I was growing up where people didn't like dark skinned people, and there was, you know, I was teased and all that kind of stuff. What in the world can I do to perfect that? Nothing. I'm not gonna. Do you understand what I'm saying? If being light skinned was perfect, well, how could I ever get there?
Mm.
How could I ever achieve that? Never. If that's perfection, I'm never, ever going to be that. So I'm going to be something other than good or perfect forever if I allow myself to fall into the idea that this is what it means to be perfect. You know, I'm 5'3¼". I've never grown beyond that. So somebody taller than me, well, if that's perfect, how can I get taller? Do you see what I'm saying? Reaching for these things mm-hmm. that really aren't us or outside of us is a setup. Because you're never going to get there. But if I can look in the mirror and say, you know, my black is beautiful, just like I am. And I appreciate who I am and what I bring to the table. And what I'm looking for when I go out is I want to present myself well. So I'm going to make sure, you know, I put a little makeup on and I put clothes on that match. I'm going to feel good about who I am when I walk out the door. And I'm going to call that excellent and I'm going to keep the party moving. Of course, I've been in situations where I've been talking and I find out the whole time I had, you know, like pepper in my teeth and nobody told me. But that doesn't take away from my value. That doesn't detract from my value because I'm not trying to be perfect anymore. And I'm certainly not trying to be an image of perfection that somebody else has carved out for me. Do you feel what I'm saying?
Oh, wow. I just love that. Because I think we get in trouble all, you know, at times when we already have something in what we're dealing with, but then we actually allow other people to transfer their beliefs and wants and how they want us to be onto ourselves instead of being ourselves.
Yes, and so thinking back to the definition of perfection, remember, it's the absence of flaws. So basically, you're focusing on trying to fill some void, whereas operating from the spirit of excellence means the presence of something. It's being outstanding or being extremely good. So you're always going to be moving in the right direction when you're moving towards something that exists. Something that's real, something that you can actually achieve. And that's why I'm saying if perfection is where you're aiming, something else is going on there. That idea that you have to be perfect, when intellectually you know it's not possible, is being driven by something else. It could be your peer group. It could be, you know, like I said, an upbringing. It could be a work experience. It could be anything that's trying to drive you into this image of perfection that you can't achieve. But whatever it is holding you back. Because even when you're bringing your A game and even when you're knocking the ball out of the park, if all the T's aren't crossed and all the I's aren't dotted, and you're looking at that to determine whether you've done well, then you're missing out on your own value.
Wow, that's powerful. And then we'll have to dive deeper. You will have to dive deeper if we have those things going on. And you know, I keep saying this over and over because we want something, you know, as we go to the drive-thru, we go to the next wonder, we already healed and we already, you know, we already taken care of. And it takes time, ladies and gentlemen. But we have to get this because we can't, I mean, because you want to walk in your value. You want to do the things that, because this is, you know, this will hold you back from even walking in your purpose if you have this. Because you're going to, like Leticia said so wonderfully over and over, it's a setup. You're setting yourself up for failure. Wow.
Yes. And so I am, as you know, my book will be out next month. I Can, 12 Keys to Achieve Personal Success in the Smartest Way. And here's what I do in the book. The book is broken up into three parts. The first is who you have to be successful. Then the second part is what you have to do to be successful. And then the third part is how you actually have or achieve and manifest success. But the very first part of that is being. So you have to identify who you are. That's the I. Then you got to care about your feelings once you make that identification. And then you got to attend to any feelings that aren't moving you toward your goal. That's the A. And then you've got to notice that there's a version of you, what I call the hit version of you, that wants to come forth. That's your I can. That's the being. That's the knowing who you are. And so it gives you the opportunity to start challenging these things, these ideas about who you're not, and giving energy and attention to who you think you ought to be as opposed to who you are. And it really hones down to help you focus on that identity part. Because people always want to know, well, I want to do what you do. How did you do this? Or how did you do that? And I've asked the question myself, well, how did you do that? Well, the question really isn't how they do, right? Because my belief is that the doing flows from the being. So if you lay a strong foundation of who you be, then what you do flows naturally out of that, and then that's how you have what you want to have. But it's a process.
That's right.
And it's a thought
that's
process.
Right.
Because
yes.
What I know
yes.
is that limiting beliefs produce limited success. There's no doubt about that.
Wow. Yes, yes. You're absolutely right about that, Leticia. She said, I've been. You got to know your being. I love it.
And so, you know, going back to what we were saying with the whole perfection idea, you know, if you make the declaration, I'm a perfectionist, you know, you say that and you keep speaking that and you keep rehearsing that, what you're really reinforcing is I'm something I can achieve. Right?
Right, you're right.
Because we've already established that you can't be perfect, and we say all the time that nobody's perfect. But yet we make a statement, an I am statement at that, which is a really powerful. We make the statement, I am a perfectionist, and we are literally saying that you are trying to be something that you know does not exist. That is a setup.
And, yeah, we get into this circle at that point, and it continues to just spiral down, unfortunately.
Yes. So I would definitely say, you know, you just want to check that. And you can write it out. You can write out, you know, the different reasons that you think you have to be perfect. And what areas do you think you have to be perfect in? If you look at the different areas of your life, you look at your home, you look at your career, you know, you look at your relationships, and when I say relationships, I mean love relationships and friend relationships. You know, you can look at your history, look at your academic experience, and when you're looking at those different areas that you're feeling like you want to be perfect in, ask yourself why. Why do I feel this need? Where is this coming from? And it will take you to some surprising places. But it's really important to break that habit of thinking that way, because we know we can't achieve that. And then we can go back in those same areas and say, well, instead of trying to achieve perfection in these areas, how do I achieve excellence in this area? What would it look like for me to be excellent in this area? What would it look like for me to be an excellent employee? What would it look like for me to be an excellent partner or wife? What would it look like for me to be an excellent friend? What would it look like for me to be an excellent housekeeper? Whatever it is, whatever area that you're looking at, what would it look like if you were to achieve excellence in that area? And really start to paint a picture in that direction. And if you do it that way and ask yourself that question, then ideas will start to show up for you, and you can put a plan in place to actually start working toward those things. And like I was saying before, when you find, okay, this is what I want to do, but I don't feel like I'm consistently doing it, then you can course correct. You know, you can say, well, is this something I can actually achieve consistently? And start to make those changes and those shifts to move you in the direction of where you're trying to go. But the value in doing that is that you're moving towards something, something that you can measure and something that you can control, as opposed to moving towards something that does not exist, that's always going to pull you, make you come up short because you can't achieve it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you said a powerful word that we've been saying throughout the whole conversation is change. I mean, it's so hard for people to say change, number one, that they want to make a change, and then actually moving forward and doing that. But, I mean, there are so many techniques and professionals like yourself that's out there nowadays that this day and time or this season we actually have people that's in confidentiality, that's professional, that actually have experienced some of these things. And so it's a whole many layers of how we can actually be delivered from this, you know, having a perfectionist, and we can live what we say. That's in the Bible. We always say it, but we actually can actually be, our behavior can show that we're actually walking and talking and doing whatever we have to do in the spirit of excellence.
Well, it was one of the reasons that I decided to write a book on personal success, because, you know, there are people who have money, maybe they're working at the job, their dream job, maybe they're driving the car that they want to drive, but they still feel like something's missing. They're not feeling rewarded. They're not enjoying their life. They have not achieved personal success. And so when I'm talking about personal success, I'm talking about a fulfilling experience that, yes, gives you the things that you want, but has you in a different level of comfort and confidence about who you are. And where that really starts is in your thinking. Changing your thoughts empower you to achieve personal success. This is all a thought process. This is all about how we're thinking, because those thoughts then produce feelings. And then those feelings are then driving your actions. But if you can shift your thoughts by moving, getting rid of the emotional response inside of those thoughts, then you can change those thoughts to be more empowering thoughts. And that is why I focus also in the book on caring about your feelings, you know, knowing how you really feel and really going into that and getting in touch with that, giving your time and attention to care about how you feel. So if you're somebody who's driven toward, you know, perfectionism, and that thought has never been challenged, and the feeling of inadequacy have never been attended to, then that's a part of what's driving you there. And I get it. Nobody wants to sit and nobody wants to contemplate thoughts that make them feel inadequate or make them feel unworthy. Or even in their mind, nobody really wants to revisit experiences that made them feel that way. So in the book, I talk about tapping, and I talk about how to attend to those feelings that are disempowering so that we can operate from a position of power when we're moving forward toward our goals. But we gotta get to what is driving the bus. And those thoughts that we keep thinking over and over are producing themes in our lives.
Yeah, and this I totally agree with what you're saying on that.
Yeah, this perfection thing is one of the biggest, because like I said before, I see it showing up in my, with my clients, that this idea, and I hear it with friends, this idea that, you know, I'm a perfectionist, I'm a perfectionist, I'm a perfectionist. And it's really, you know, it's also a little abusive, right? Because you can't, you know, you can't achieve it. So then when things don't go perfectly, then it's just one, it's really a little way of kind of beating yourself up a little bit if you think about it. So even the inclination to do that was just a whole other show. That's a whole nother show.
Yes. Oh wow. Well, this has been a very eye-opening, I know, to many of us, because I know I've been there. But you know, I can be honest and transparent, Leticia. Life and life situations and I think my life totally really changed a lot when my brother passed as well. I mean, because in the field of anesthesia, I got to get it right. I mean, you know, I'll be transparent. It's a very narrow margin of error. And you don't like a physician to say the word error. But I'm very grateful. I've been doing this 17 years, but I'm very grateful that I learned early on in my career, because back when I was talking about that experience I had with the test, my mom and dad sat me down, and that really changed the, you know, trajectory pretty much of my whole career, because we dealt with that root at that time. So I'm grateful for that, because I would have been off the chain more than, because of anesthesia. There's no air. There's no room there for that. And so
sure.
I'm grateful. And you said so many, look, the powerful things. Oh, wow, this is powerful.
Yeah, but so think about, what you're saying in terms of the field of anesthesiology. You're not talking about perfection. I don't care how good you look when you walk in there, how perfect you are. I just want to know you've achieved excellence at what you're doing before you put that needle in me. So that's not as good as what I'm saying. So, all right, that's what I'm looking for. I want to know, that you have whatever the standards of excellence are in terms of care. That's what I'm looking for you to bring to the table as a professional. Excellence absolutely applies. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for your perfection. I'm looking for your excellence in this area. And then because you're the physician, you're the expert. And so that should automatically mean by default that you are bringing your A game to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in no way implying that we don't reach for the highest version of ourselves. I'm absolutely saying we do reach for the highest version of ourselves, that we bring our A game, we work to bring our A game to every area of our lives. But we do so with the spirit of really achieving something good, achieving something outstanding, extremely good, as the definition says, as opposed to the perfection, which really just focuses on the flaws, because you're just trying to cover up anything you think is wrong when you're trying to be the perfectionist. But when you're operating in the spirit of excellence, you are focused on bringing your A game to the table. And that's the important distinction that I want, you know, people to walk away from tonight. Definitely do your best. Do your best at everything that you can. But empower yourself to make those corrections in your course if you need to in that quest for excellence. And do not give another moment of your time trying to achieve something that you already know does not exist. Does that make sense?
I love it. It makes a lot of sense. I'm just so, I keep saying this, but every session you have is just so empowering, and it actually takes the stress away. It actually makes you feel renewed and refreshed. But I'm so excited about your book coming out because we can actually have that close and personal to us. And, of course, we need to have sessions as well with you. But I'm just so excited about your book. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, so if you want to get more information on the launch of the book, you can text ICAN, no space, ICAN. You can text it to 444-999, and I'll add you to my email list and keep you updated until we get to the launch date, which will be happening next month. So I'm excited about it because I'm a process person. When somebody is telling me something, I want to know how. You want me to let go of these bad feelings? How? You want me to get over what's going on? How? How? So this is a how-to. How to deal with the feelings that are coming up when you sit down and do that inventory. How to address those things. And then how to set your goals. And how to set yourself up for success. So the book is really process-oriented because I want people to walk away with the feeling like, okay, I do this, and then this is how this works. Bam. I got a step-by-step. And that's why I call it 12 keys to achieve personal success. Each chapter is a key, just another key that moves you to open up another door and open up another door and open up another door until you achieve that personal success. But I want people to have the stuff they want to have, but I want them to feel good while they're doing it. And so what I will wrap up with today is just to remind you that perfection is not clear and you cannot achieve that state. You want to make excellence your aim because it can be measured and it drives you to do good. I know this idea of perfection may be hard for you to break, but go ahead and go to atthewheelcoaching.com to schedule a consultation with me. And I'm offering a 10% discount on all my coaching programs for Sunday Soul Service listeners. So if you go to the website and check that out, you can definitely reach out to me and we can set up a program that meets your needs. And I want to remind you that I am here on the third Tuesday of every month on Sunday Soul Service. I love being here and sharing with you. I am Lakeisha Bates, life coach and founder of At The Wheel Coaching. If the pain of your past has been keeping you down, start driving your life to higher ground.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Sunday Soul Service, brought to you by me, Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an uplifting Power Pack Hour designed to help you believe, trust, and walk it out. And always remember, I love you, but God loves you best.